Welcome to the Life Insurance Financial Education Podcast. We're pulling back the curtain on high cash value life insurance and how it can help you build wealth and achieve your financial goals. My name's James Barber. I'm your Oregon cash flow pro.
My name's Jane with Tech's Millionaire Club.
And my name is Carlo Vitera with NetWell Finance.
Appreciate you joining us this week. Today, we're going to be talking about where to find the cash to help fund your policies, to get your infinite bank started or your high cash value life insurance policy started. We finished off last week talking about expanding your bank, but we kind of ran short on time and we didn't get to mention some of the reasons you might expand your bank if you don't qualify for life insurance on yourself anymore. What are the different things that you can do? Do you guys want to hop in on that?
Sure. So one of the easiest ways is to get an insurance policy on one of your family members. Most logical is starting with your spouse and then your children. So you do need to have an insurable interest in whoever you get a life insurance policy on. So if you have someone that you have an insurable interest, that is a good example of where you can start your policies and get started with this infinite banking concept.
I think it's the right opportunity to do along with this person to explain everything, especially if you're doing it with spouse or your kids. It's a great opportunity to educate other people, the people with the insurable interest, what you are doing, what's the plan, and then eventually how you could utilize this as the high cash value life insurance as one of the bank.
So let's just make it clear that you can essentially get a policy on anybody that you have an insurable interest in. Each of us mentioned it, but what does that mean? Insurable interest. What is an insurable interest? That means if that person were to die, what is the financial impact on you, the policy owner? Because that's what you need to justify in order for them to approve having a death benefit. What they won't do is approve you owning a policy on somebody else that essentially you're just going to benefit financially if they die, because you now have an incentive for that person to die. So they want to make sure that you're not going to profit off of their death. You have to have an actual financial impact if something were to happen to that person. Family members, it's fairly easy to calculate because there's going to be an impact on the family's income if somebody were to die that's in your family. If it's a dependent, there could be a financial impact. If that dependent dies, it could cause the parents not to be able to work. It could impact their ability to bring in income. If it's a business partner, now there could be a serious impact on the business. So you have an insurable interest on your business partners. You also have an insurable interest on employees, key employees. So you could potentially get coverage on an employee that's valuable to the business. We just have to be able to demonstrate that there is a financial impact. In general, it is harder to get high death benefit amounts on other people because the calculations of that insurable interest are not the same as when we're trying to replace family income. So basically, if you do not have the ability to add a policy on yourself, whether you can't qualify for insurance anymore or you've maxed out on the policies that you can get on yourself, there are other ways to go about it to expand your bank and create the ability for you to funnel additional money into high cash value life insurance. You just got to chat with your agent and figure out what's the best strategy in this case. And with that, let's move on to where do you find the cash to start funding your policies? You guys want to start with maybe a personal example?
I will divide that into a few buckets. Some I'm already started using it. Some will be future plan. Obviously, my savings. Whenever I need to fund the high cash value life insurance plan, I just pull the money from my savings account. Another bucket is tax returns. Sometimes because my policy is right around that time frame, I have the tax refund money I could pull in as the premium for next year. Another bucket will be future because my commercial property is still dragging the cash flow, but the cash flow will be the future I plan to fund into the life insurance policy as the premium, which could be a significant significant chunk of money.
All right, so that's a few different ideas. We had savings, income from rental properties. What was the third one?
Tax refund.
Tax refunds. Anything else to add to that, Carlo?
Sure. So there's a number of ways that I have funded my policies. Proceeds of a sale of real estate is one. I also had some money come from my company being purchased. That was another way that I'm parking some of those funds inside of my life insurance policies. And I still, even to this day, actually have a 401k loan open. When I thought markets were peaking a bit, I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to just take a 401k loan and just do different stuff with it. And I continue to have that loan out, just letting it kind of increase my dollar cost averaging. And so that's one place that I've been doing stuff. I still have some loans against my life insurance policies. So to some degree, it's not like directly. I'm not always just borrowing from my policy to fund. But in some capacity, I am using that in the sense that I have funded while I still have loans outstanding against my policy. So I will use my brokerage account when I might have a capital gain when I've sold something. Oftentimes I try to wait out for long-term capital gains. So sometimes I'll pull from some of those gains to fund my policies. And bonuses from work is another place. I think there's just so many different ways that we can fund a life insurance policy. It's really not a one-size-fits-all scenario. And in all honesty, for me, it's many sources that end up helping me to find the cash to fund my policies.
Another thing I could think about, a lot of people right now doing the side hustle, especially building up the so-called MRR, monthly recurring revenue. That is a great way to fund your life insurance premium because that's a side hustle. And then you have the continuous cash flowing from that MRR every month you generate. It's just some idea, although I don't have it now, but probably that's something I could think about in the future as well.
So that was a lot of different examples of ways that you could get money to put into a cash value life insurance policy. Most of those were specific examples that people have already used. So there's some good information here. If you're in the market to shop for one of these and you understand the value, but you're struggling to figure out, how am I going to do this? How can we make it work inside of our budget? So let's keep this going. I've got a few more ideas on ways that people have actually funded their policies, either clients of mine or me myself. I've also used 401k loan. I've had income coming in that we've used to put it. So clearly we set aside money and we just fund our policy. But then we also use leverage, whether it's a home equity line of credit where I'm going to pull cash value out of that, or maybe it's a different policy that I own that I've got cash value in. I've used all of those for funding my policies because I know if I'm going to own a high cash value life insurance policy, the best use of it is to max fund it every single year. So that's my main goal, is to max fund it. As soon as my policy anniversary rolls around and I can put more money in, I grab it from wherever I can. That's my first goal, is to max those out. And then after that, I figure out where to keep my capital. So leverage wherever I can get it from. Another thing I've had somebody do is we've started a small policy. This was somebody who didn't think that they could do a policy because they didn't have a whole lot of income. They're just growing their business. But what they did have is some free time. And so they were able to start a very small policy. They basically just either signed on with Uber or Lyft to do a taxi driver and drive people around with the specific goal that they're going to go do that just a couple of times each month in order to get the money to fund their policy. So like they earmarked that side hustle income to fund their policy. And it wasn't even a very big policy, but it's enough to grow some cash value and get started. Now, this is a young person, just good hustle and drive to figure out. They knew they wanted to start a high cash value life insurance policy, but they didn't know where they were going to come up with the money. So they created the job that gave them the money to go do it. There's all kinds of different things that people can do in order to find the cash to get this stuff started.
I think that's the perfect example. We have to do things with the purpose. We set up a small policy. We have this goal to fund the policy with this side hustle, this Uber Eats, or whatever you try to do. That's a very good example. We could really pin down what you want to do, what you plan to do, and then actually doing it.
Yeah, exactly. The other way we can find extra cash to find money for our bank is we just create it. I'm doing videos on my channel where I borrow from a policy, I buy a cash flowing asset, in this case, a high dividend paying ETF. And then as that kicks off dividends, that money goes back into the policy. Now I could put that in as new premium or as loan payoff. Either way, it just depends on if I need extra money to max out that policy as new premium. And as soon as I max it out, then that money goes back in to pay off the loan. So there's different ways that we can come up with this in order to make sure that we're max funding our policy, because that is the ultimate goal.
Yeah, and I think James has mentioned a number of times this concept of max funding. And I think in prior episodes where we've talked about design, you know, that has been a real focus. So really, when we design a policy with a good blend that allows us to get a lot of cash into that policy, there is the optimal amount, which is that max amount that amount of death benefit will let you put into that policy. And so if we're able to do that through various means that we've talked about here, you know, side hustles or 401k loans or whatever, wherever you get the capital, HELOCs, then that is going to be what makes the policy more efficient and operate more efficiently for that cash growth. So I do want to make sure that people kind of understand that max fund concept, and that we want to make sure that you have the optimized policy to ensure that more cash stays in your pocket or you can access more of your own cash.
I want to add another thing too. I don't really talk about it much anymore, but I talked about it a number of years ago. And there's this concept that I deemed wealth building blocks. We can use regular expenses that we have right now, and with a simple diversion, we can move money from a regular expense into our policies and create a wealth building block that will then allow that amount of money to grow and compound every year. This is a concept that is really for somebody who struggles to max fund their policy, but really wants to do it. And it takes a little bit more work to make this happen. But as an example, let's say that you have a recurring annual bill. Maybe it's property taxes, and you're currently just setting aside that money for your property taxes in checking or savings account. And then once a year, you make that payment. Instead of just putting that money into a checking or savings account, you move it one time into your life insurance policy. That gives you a couple thousand dollars of new premium that goes into your policy. Once that money's in your policy, it's going to grow and compound for the rest of your life. So we get, if it's $2,000, we now have $2,000 that's going to grow and compound for the rest of our life. But you still have to pay that property tax that year. So what you're going to do is you're going to borrow that $2,000 back out of your policy, and you're going to pay your property taxes. And then when you would normally be saving up in your checking or savings account, instead of putting that money in your checking or savings account, you're going to make that payment to the loan that you took out of your policy. And by the time your property taxes roll around the next year, you've got that cash value in your policy that you can borrow again, pay the property tax. So it's a one-time diversion that gets it into your policy. And from then on, you're just going to borrow from your policy to make that property tax payment each year. Now, each year, you're going to pay the interest on that loan to the life insurance policy. But the loan is essentially going to be the same amount. So the interest is going to be the same amount each year. If it's $2,000 and you're borrowing at 5%, that means your loan interest is $40. So your property tax bill went from $2,000 to $2,040. But in your policy, the policy grows from $2,000 to $2,040 to $2,085 to $2,130. And it's just going to keep growing and compounding while the loan amount stays the same. So that's a wealth building block. It's a way that we can divert a one-time expense, grow our policy, and take advantage of that for the rest of our lives.
If I remember this correctly, the ultimate goal is to push every single after-tax income into a life insurance policy and then take loan to pay all kinds of bills. I think will take a lot of people some time to really understand how this whole dynamic or mechanic will work. I haven't done that yet, but that's one of my goals. Eventually, I will probably start practicing this, especially I know if I do something like this, yes, there's a 5% interest because it's a loan, but over the year of 5, 10, 20, 50 years, that's a significant increase of those money I dump into the life insurance policy.
Yeah, that's something Nelson Nash talked about in Becoming Your Own Banker, eventually funneling all of your income through a policy. And then you take loans from the policy to cover your lifestyle bills. That's not something that somebody should do right out of the gate. That's definitely something you build up to where you already have a cushion of money inside your policy. My preference is that we start policies with emergency funds. It's one of my favorite things. Most people's emergency funds are just sitting in a bank account, not really doing much. Maybe at this point you're getting a high interest savings account yield, but it's still not quite that high, and that can go away at any point. Better that we get that money into a policy, get the death benefit, and then get the benefit of growth, because we don't hardly ever expect to touch our emergency funds. Well, at some point down the road, you can start to grow how much of your income is going into that. It's not very practical to move all of your expenses into a policy or want to pull out money for all of your expenses. My preference is that we use a combination of a personal line of credit and credit cards so that we can move that money efficiently. And maybe once a month we move in and out of our life insurance policy. That's a bit more practical, I think, in reality, as opposed to what Nelson was talking about, where we're going to funnel all of our income and then pull out to go pay all of our bills. That can just get a little complicated.
Yeah, and that's basically my approach, is combining the credit cards with these policies. I am putting away a large percentage of my take-home pay into these policies. I wouldn't say it's as, you know, it's not 100%, but a large percentage. And I am using things like, or I pay off a statement balance of my credit cards every month that, you know, any of the ones that do have applicable interest. And I use those to float zero interest cost. And that is something that I actively do. And I keep minimal amounts of cushion. Now, I keep more cushion than most people do probably in my checking accounts for various things. I think, you know, we all can have comfort levels, various levels that we might do that. I think there's a lot of folks who optimize that to a few hundred dollars. I don't feel comfortable there. I'm okay with taking I might have $10,000 not earning interest because I just have the possibility of a $10,000 expense with various things that I have going on just popping up. So that is a thing that is in my life. So, but when I tap that, if I tap that capital, then I can immediately replenish it with a loan from one of my policies with, you know, probably in 2 to 5 days is what it's averaged out to be for me to access capital in my policies. That's kind of been my experience. So we're able to pretty quickly access it. The home equity line of credit James mentioned, like that is a really good tool to get that faster access to capital. I haven't yet done that. I've been sort of, I tried to prior to the rates starting to go up. There was an intro offer from one of my primary banks at 2.5%, but I think the rates were starting to make movement already. And basically midway through an application, they were like, nope, we're not doing this. They gave some excuse. And it was a little bit frustrating because I had actually, in order to get a better CLTV, combined loan to value thing, I made some extra payments on a 2.25% loan to get to where I needed it to be. So I was so frustrated that they shut me down on that. But that was an example of just trying to tap another line of credit when I thought it was cheap money, and I foresaw what was happening would be the case. So we try to use all the tools we can with these things.
That's brutal to get locked out. You locked up that capital inside your house at 2.5% interest. Well, I think we covered a lot of different ways that you can find cash to help fund one of these policies. Next week, we're going to be talking about actual high cash value products, the good and the bad. And even a good product can be designed poorly, but we're going to get into some specifics. So be sure to join us for that. Do you guys have any call to action?
It's time for this week's call to action.
Because I'm in real estate, we always say, go find a go find the property, the money will come. I want to use the same analogy here too. Go set up the policy, listen, educate yourself, and then start a policy. You will find money. We mentioned several different ways you could actually pull the cash to fund it. But first of everything starting, you have to have a policy first. So don't hesitate. Start acting today.
So I would add to that, maybe even before you end up having a conversation with an agent, just assess what your situation is. Some of these things that we talked about in this episode, I think, you know, Jing's right. If you just say, hey, I'm going to go and start a policy, that's going to be a way for you prompting things. But maybe inventory some of these tools that we talked about in this so that you can line up a good conversation with an agent. Maybe that's one of us or somebody that you know, but ensure that there's somebody who knows high cash value life insurance so that they can set it up properly.
I like those ideas. I definitely think that a good call to action would be somebody to re-listen to all the different ways that we mentioned and see if any of those align with your ability to find some cash and then talk with an agent. Oftentimes, we'll do an evaluation. We'll look at all of your finances and we might be able to make some suggestions that you haven't thought of and figure out a way to make something work to get it started. And then you can think about growing it later on. As Jing said, best to get it started. You'll find the cash once you get it started. Because like I know for me personally, I get excited when my policy payment periods come around because I got to find the cash at that point. And I will because I know it's the best use of owning that policy. That's a wrap for this week. I'm James Barber, your Oregon Cash Flow Pro. You can find me on YouTube at Oregon Cash Flow Pro. I'm licensed for life insurance and annuities across the country.
My name's Jane with Tech Zen Millionaire Club. You can find us on school. We educate people how to become tech zen multimillionaires. I'm also a life insurance agent in multiple states. We look forward to connecting with you.
And I'm Carlo Vaquera with NetWealth Finance. You can find me at netwealthfinance.com or on YouTube at NetWealth Finance. We work with clients across the country as well.
We appreciate you joining us. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks for watching.